Welcome to Eastern Sierra Now. It's Friday, June 3rd, and I'm your host, Jesse Steele. So, it's been a long week. It's been a good week. Can't complain too much about that. We're going to jump right into things here. I would like to start with discussing our Assemblyman Jim Patterson's press conference regarding the EDD backlog. This is from the office of Assemblyman Jim Patterson, again, the 23rd Assembly District. A video of yesterday's Zoom meeting regarding tax credit processing backlogs at the EDD can be downloaded and viewed from Eastern Sierra Now. I will play you just a quick little four-minute piece from Assemblyman Patterson describing exactly what is going on with this tax credit that was promised by the EDD. So let's go to Assemblyman Patterson.
The saga of the EDD and its failures just seems to go on and on and on. And here we are again with the EDD essentially telling the people of California, we don't really care, get over it. They've said this, that you know the line is long, the solutions are few and far between, and it just seems to go on and on. They said that first to unemployed people. They said it to victims of fraud. And now they are saying it to small business owners who are trying to do the right thing. Here's what we are talking about. It's the Workforce Opportunity Tax Credit. This is a federal tax credit that gives employers a tax credit of up to $9,600 per person for hiring people who are ready to go to work. But they have been on food stamps, or they are veterans, or they serve some time in prison and they're rehabilitated and ready to go to work. And even people who have been on unemployment for an extended period of time, and they're ready for the workforce. And people in several other categories. These are individuals who are trying to do the best they can. They prepared themselves to work. And now we have employers who have given them that chance. But here's the catch. Before an employer can get this tax credit, they need the EDD to provide a certification saying the employee qualifies for the credit. Now, EDD has confirmed to me directly that they are an entire year behind on this process and are just now going through applications employers submitted back in June of 2021. The EDD said that as of September last year, there were almost 400,000 applications waiting to be processed. Now, those are 400,000 applications of employers and employees who have found a way to find each other, to go to work, and to be successful. Now, I think the backlog must be bigger than that now, but the problem is, as so oftentimes, is the EDD simply will not be direct and straight with us. They said we won't get an update on the backlog until October of 2022. Now, we have been sort of on the forefront of receiving calls of concern from constituents. We processed something like 3,000 EDD cases when they were giving a terrible service to people who had every reason to be able to get their EDD checks. They were qualified, and yet the EDD froze the accounts, and people were just thrown into a turmoil. Now, we've been able to help a number of business owners. They have reached out to us. We have been able to help them. We're still trying to help them. But when they tried to call the EDD, they're basically told, sorry, nothing we can do about it. You have to wait. It'll be a year. Now, that just simply is an absolutely unacceptable excuse by the EDD. They've known that they have to get the certifications out. They've been warned by past audits by our California auditor years ago that they weren't ready for these kinds of influx. And here we are now with frustrated business owners who are trying to do the right thing. And yet the EDD is telling them, no, wait, maybe it's going to be a year. That puts them in limbo, but it also puts the employee in limbo as well.
Well, that is definitely a bad situation, but it's true. I was on unemployment at the beginning of quarantine, and it was the same thing. It was 6 months before I received any help whatsoever, and I had worked into it since I was 15 years old, so it was pretty ridiculous for everyone. And I understand during a quarantine pandemic, you know, and this is massive thing that nobody was expecting, that becomes an issue. So I'm not completely against it, but this is getting pretty ridiculous, you know, especially if people are trying to go out of their way to hire people to get them off of EDD and off of state and federally funded deals to help people to get them back to work, and they can't even get them out fast enough. What's telling to me in the deal is that the people that have called Assemblyman Patterson, they were able to help them get through with their certificate. Well, that means it's doable. So what it really means is EDD just doesn't care. There's a giant stack and whatever. So if somebody with any power calls, they'll move forward on getting it. But otherwise, it's just, you know, going as slow as possible. So that doesn't help people. That's pretty ridiculous. Here, I'll read you a little bit about what's going on with what Assemblyman Patterson was doing today. He's joined by two California small businesses, and they had a virtual press conference today, basically to ring the alarm bells about a year-long backlog, just to get the word out to people, hey, this is going on and it's not okay. That's what they're talking about. And it's the Workforce Opportunity Tax Credit, or the WOTC. The applications for that is what they're talking about. So the WOTC is a federally funded program that gives employers a tax credit up to $9,000 per person for hiring people on food stamps, veterans, formerly incarcerated felons, and people in several other categories. In order to get the federal tax credit, employers need a certificate from the California EDD confirming their employee qualifies for WOTC. According to the EDD, they are a whole year behind, as Patterson just explained, on this process, and they are just now going through applications that were submitted in June of 2021. So that's what this is about, and that's so hopefully good for him. He keeps fighting the good fight. I like I said many times, I like the guy. I think he does a good job. So let's hope that this can get sorted out at least faster than it currently is, and we will stay on top of it, and if we hear anything, we will let you know. You know, at that, let's go to our sponsors and a word from Mammoth Lakes Tourism.
The Eastern Sierra Now podcast is brought to you by Coppertop Barbecue, High Point Solar, Northern Inyo Hospital, Astorga's Mexican Restaurant, Mora's Mineral Treasures, Mammoth Brand, Mammoth Lakes Chamber of Commerce, Brood Awakening, Shorty's Speed Shop, Giovanni's, Perez Quality Tire, Bishop Hauling, Sierra Light Gallery, and listeners like you who donate at patreon.com/EasternSierraNow.
This is Emily with Mammoth Lakes Tourism, reminding you how to recreate responsibly around town. Walk, bike, and ride the bus. Reduce single-use plastics with a reusable water bottle that can be filled at water filling stations throughout town. Follow local leash laws and pick up after your pet. Don't litter. Recycle appropriate items. Don't feed our bears by always securing dumpster doors. Learn more and make your commitment to keeping Mammoth Lakes beautiful at mammothpromise.com.
Okay, thank you for that. Let's get back to some news here. So it looks like there was a missing man found deceased in Death Valley National Park. Searchers located the body of John McCary, 69 years old, from Long Beach on June 1st in a remote section of Death Valley National Park. The McCary's last contact with a family member was a text message sent on May 15th from Olancha, California, which stated he was heading to Death Valley National Park. The Long Beach Police Department issued a public information bulletin on May 26th. Park rangers located McCary's vehicle on Lake Hill Road in Panamint Valley on May 31st. After 2 days of air and ground searches by National Park Service and Bureau of Land Management Rangers, California Highway Patrol's A-81 airplane, and U.S. Navy's VX-31 search and rescue helicopter, his body was found about a quarter mile from his vehicle on the afternoon of June 1st. Inyo County Coroner's Office assisted with the body recovery. Foul play is not suspected in McCary's death. Another thing to point out about that, too, is the thing to take from this is it is dangerous in Death Valley. It's called Death Valley for a reason. There's no water. There's no shade. It's 110 degrees now. I mean, it's just going to get hotter and hotter. So just look at what happened to this poor guy. He clearly was not prepared for what happened, and that's what you need to be prepared for. Water, shade, sunscreen. Don't go away from your vehicle. Drive to where you're going to go and hang out there. It's just a bad idea. But he only made it a quarter mile from his vehicle. Now, we don't know. Did he break his leg? Was he bit by a snake? I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know about this, but it was only a quarter mile from his vehicle. So draw a big circle around his vehicle in a quarter mile. That is the range, and that, which is in a big range, that the air patrols needed to follow to be able to actually find his body. I'm sure they went way further than that because they expected it to be farther. That being said, think about that for yourself. You walk a quarter mile away from your car. It took them, what, 5 days to find the guy a quarter mile from where they found his car. So I'm not putting them down. I'm saying that's what it takes in Death Valley to find you. So you really need to be careful. This isn't just I'm only a quarter mile from my car. Somebody will find me. No, they won't. So Death Valley is a very dangerous place, and you need to be completely prepared when you head out there. I have a video about Death Valley, which is fun, thank God, that will be coming out here pretty soon that Amy and I took, and we got to interview a couple of rangers and go check out a lot of the cool things like the pupfish, for instance. We'll put that out soon. But that's what I took from Death Valley in discussing things with people there. It is dangerous, and you have to be careful. So our condolences to McCary's family in Long Beach there, and it's awful. It's terrible. And I am glad that they at least found his body to help get them some peace. What else do we got here? So Mammoth Bike Report just came out. And it looks like there's 11 trails open. And the lows have been in the 70s. So that's not really low. That's freezing for Bishop. It's been sunny. And there's been just a mild breeze up there. You can access cams and things like that from our link on Eastern Sierra Now. But it looks like there are 3 green circles, 6 blue squares, 1 black diamond, and 1 double black diamond. And so far, there are 0 of the black triangles open. Thanks to everyone who joined us for the opening weekend, they say. Recent trail management or maintenance out on Big Ring and Smooth Operator had us ripping, and it was awesome to see so many friends lap in the park. This week, trail crew is working on Lower Pipeline and Lower Bullet, which will both be open on Saturday. Think of this knowledge as a nice bonus for subscribing to the weekly bike reports, as those trails will not be listed as open on our website due to maintenance happening on just portions of the trail. Open in their entirety are Manzanita, Juniper, and Paper Route, allowing for some fun loops to be ridden over on the east side of the mountain. And you can check out some their Facebook page to see some more of their photos from Pipeline. It is pretty sweet. I'm looking at the photos right now. There is quite a few really, shall we say, bitchin' runs. So yeah, go check that out. And if you're a biker, head up there, you know. And there's some intermediate stuff. There's 3 of them. So if you want to just try it out and you've never really mountain biked before, now's your chance. It's really fun. I'll give you that. And I'm out of shape, and I have fun doing it every time. So clearly, when it's a downhill thing like that, it's quite exhilarating. It's not like riding up a hill. That would kill somebody like me. Okay. Up next, we have, looks like Inyo Council for the Arts has something going on. Let's see what they have. So they just wrapped up their last school art day of the school year, reaching over 800 kids at Bishop Elementary with hands-on arts activities, take-home art projects, and free art kits. Due to the amazing success of this program, they are working on taking it countrywide next school year, allowing them to reach more kids in Inyo. Yeah, I meant to say countywide. As I'm reading this, I'm going countrywide? Yeesh! Countywide. They will be going all across Inyo County. They will reach more kids in Inyo County than ever before. We would like to thank our partners, the Inyo County Office of Education, Inyo County Probation, City of Bishop, and Bishop Unified School District for helping them make the school art days possible. They'd also like to thank the wonderful volunteers and teaching artists for putting so much time and effort into bringing the arts into the schools. If you'd like more information about school arts program, you can click on the link at Eastern Sierra Now. Just remember, tickets are available for the 30th annual Mill Pond Music Festival. You can email about those at info@inyo.org or call 760-873-8014. You're going to want to get in early on that, especially if you're camping, because you want to get a good spot. And they've been open for about a month now, so as far as selling tickets. So check that out. So this summer, friend of the show, Sage Romero, will be doing a hoop dance class. And if you have not seen that, you are missing out. It is one of the great wonders of the world, watching Sage Romero do his hoop dance. As my uncle said once at Mill Pond while we were watching him, he goes, "They didn't have hula hoops back in the Old West." But that doesn't mean they didn't have hoops made out of branches and stuff. I just found that funny. That being said, it is magnificent to watch Sage. Quick little story, a group from Africa actually came over and was teaching some African drum and dance through Inyo Council for the Arts. I was working there at the time, and we did it at the Alan Spoonhunter Gymnasium in Big Pine. So they put on their whole performance, and then they asked Sage to dance with them because they knew he was dancing. They had met him the day before. So they started drumming, and he went out there, and I'll be shocked if he didn't just beat them up and down the court. I mean, they were fantastic, but watching Sage was it's miraculous. So anyway, what he does is incredible, and you can do that too. So he's going to have adult and youth classes, and the location will be the Margaret L. Romero Cultural Studio, which is the new building Sage has built in Big Pine to teach exactly things like this. You can call for info and registration. It's hosted by Sage, of course, and the Akamaya Culture Group. Their virtual options are available as well. So if you need to learn from your house, you can do it through YouTube. I'm sure things like Sage is pretty big on tech, so I'm sure they got that figured out. Anyway, starting this month, Sage Romero will be teaching hoop dancing on Monday and Thursday evenings at the Margaret L. Romero Cultural Studio at 325 North Crater Street, Big Pine. Classes are for adults and youth. To register and get more information, call 760-937-1910 or email Akamaya Group. That's A-K-A. MYA group at gmail.com. Remember that the Eastern Sierra Pride Festival starts tomorrow. It's the 4th and the 5th. There'll be a drag show, music, bingo, food, and more. It's at the Tri-County Fairgrounds. And for more info and tickets, go to EasternSierraPride.org. And you can follow Eastern Sierra Pride on Facebook, Instagram, pretty much everything. They do a lot of posting. So if you're interested in that, you can reach out to them. You can purchase tickets at Eastern Sierra Now as well in that link. Also, if you happen to be in the Lone Pine area tomorrow, the Museum of Western Film History is presenting a Sinatra Big Band concert in the Rocks on Saturday, June 4th. Don't miss that swinging event. You can purchase tickets at Eastern Sierra Now as well. And upcoming June 8th, it looks like there is an artist who will be doing a free concert series at the Coastal Energy Stage at the Tri-County Fairgrounds. And I'm going to say his name is Jan Close. It's J-A-N-N, so I'm guessing that's Jan. The event is free and open to the public, and you must bring your own chair. So is it BYOB as well? Don't say. So that's Wednesday, June 8th. So, quite a few things going on. Playhouse 395 is going to be doing a showing of Love, Loss, and What I Wore, which was a play that I believe they did just before quarantine, or right around the same time. I think it got cut short because of that, as I recall. So they are going to be putting it on again one more time, Saturday, June 18th, and that will be at the Elks Lodge in Bishop. So on Lion Street there, the Elks Lodge, they'll be putting that on June 18th, 6 p.m. You can get tickets at Eastern Sierra Now or reach out to playhouse395.com or call or text 760-920-9100. You also can get your tickets on brownpaperticket.com, which is www.bpt.com. Are you a visual artist, musician, ceramist, poet, writer, filmmaker, actor, dancer, jewelry designer, woodworker, or fashion designer? ICA is looking to feature local artists in this newsletter and on social media. So if you want more details from that, you can click at Eastern Sierra Now and send that out. I'd like to throw that out for myself as well. If you would like to get featured on any of our social media or on the page, I'm a partner with ICA on pretty much everything, so I am cool with sharing, put it that way. And they are cool with sharing with me. So that would be really cool, just to get some more local stuff out there. You know, that's totally great. And maybe you just haven't had the chance to show people your craft. Maybe you could be doing a lot with it and you just don't realize it. So reach out, info@easternsierranow.com. And you can also go to, if you're interested in Inyo Council for the Arts, for the same thing, inyo.org. Okay, as promised, yesterday we got to watch Mammoth Voices out of Mammoth, and this week's session was led by Emily Bryant of Mammoth Lakes Tourism, just discussing a lot of the stuff that's going on with Mammoth Lakes Tourism today. We're going to cut to a portion of that with Emily.
So for the fiscal year 22-23, these are our three main goals. The number one is a focus on education, educating people regarding their impacts on our community. I think I really don't have to actually say that much. I think everybody knows that in the last few years, the impacts of our tourists have been noticeable. And we are, you know, in 2020, I think the pandemic caused us to change and look at education more. We are highly focused on stewardship and education moving forward, especially for these 45-day window of July through August, where, you know, certainly we have a lot of people here. So that's goal number one, focus on education. And I guess I don't know how, okay, there we go. Drive quality visitation is goal number two. I think sometimes when people hear this, they think that we are just looking for people to pay the most amount of money to get here. And that is really not the case. What we're trying to do is support businesses and residents by creating opportunities during the slow periods for people to come here. And that's driving the international market, those midweek stays and longer length of stays during even our peak visitation times. So you can see here, you know, a couple of all of our different bullet points here, but I just want to be clear. We're not asking to only service, I hate to say it, but rich white people. We are just saying that we want everybody to come here and that there are really good times to come here during the other times of the year, off peak, midweek. I think we all know that midweek is a great time to be here. And so getting visitors to understand that as well. Third, again, outreach to the community. We really want to foster a relationship between tourism and our residents' quality of life. Many of us are here because of tourism. I would argue that 90% of us are here because of tourism and get to stay here because of tourism. And so we really want to make sure that we understand that both this fuels our business economy and it also is a part of our lifestyle here living with tourists. Again, coming from Yosemite, my experience is living alongside visitors my entire life. And so I do think we have to blend the two and understand that there is a symbiotic relationship between these two. So these are kind of our three goals, is to focus on that education piece, bring in quality visitation, and do more outreach with our community and really talk with people.
Okay, thank you for that, Emily, with Mammoth Lakes Tourism. And there will be more from Mammoth Lakes Tourism next week. We captured the whole interview. There is more about the airport in Bishop. And currently, the flights for San Francisco are, if they're not open yet, they will be in the next few days. So you still can fly San Francisco to Bishop and get your local discount. So go to Mammoth Lakes Tourism to learn more about that. I heard it is on round trip only, but hey, what are you going to do, fly to San Francisco and stay there? If you live here, you need to come back because we like you. We want you around. So that's going to be it for today. Again, we'll have more from Emily next week. And I would like to point out that there is a fly fishing report that came out today from Fred Rowe at Sierra Bright Dot Fishing. And you can check out where the best place to Polesom Fish is going to be this weekend, so go check that out at easternsierranow.com. And I would like to point out that the app is in the same position it is. We actually did find out the problem. Super technical, nothing I want to walk through. But it has been resubmitted now, so I'm guessing by Monday it'll be out. But then again, that would be a fool's guess because I've already guessed about 25 times at this point. Dealing with Apple is pretty hard. It's almost as bad as when I was dealing with YouTube, if you recall on that. That's ridiculous. So these big god-tier companies, if you will, it's pretty hard to deal with, I'm not going to lie. But as soon as it comes out, that app will change the world. If by world, we mean Eastern Sierra. So that is going to be it for today. You guys have a fantastic weekend. Get out to some of these events that are happening. And we'll check back with you on Monday.